Today's shiur is Masechta Temura Daf Chav Tes, and we will begin on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, the second wide line. The Gemara continues discussing this issue that we've discussed extensively in our previous shiur as well, about a muks and a neva, an animal that was either designated or actually worshipped for Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Amrei Shlakish, Ein Asur Ela Muksa L'Sheva Shanim. The only animal that's muksa is an animal that muks for Sheva Shanim. And Rashi gives two explanations to this. One pshat, Rashi suggests, is that an animal to be considered designated for Avodah Zarah has to have a designation that is so significant that it was intended to be used for 7 years. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that after 7 years of being designated as an animal for Avodah Zarah, the animal designation expires. Which is interesting, a question. I saw the Mefarshim ask the question that we just spoke at the end of our previous shiur that an animal that's too old can't be used for carbon. So why would we think that an animal that's that old, it's already 7 years at least old, should be asur because it's muksa, it's anyway asur. So the Taisus Yantav says that even though we learned an old animal shouldn't be used for carbon, it's only if it's old and weak. But let's say the animal is old, but it's still okay, it's still strong, it's still healthy, it doesn't automatically become disqualified. And says the Gemara, so those are the two pshatim what Reish Lakish says. So the Gemara says, based on what do we know this? Because the Pasuk teaches us that Gidon's father was Oved Avodah Zarah, worshipped Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says, Shenema Vahi Belaila, who was on that night, V'yamal Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kachas Par Asher Lavicha, take your father animal, or Par Asheni. The Farshim discuss, what does the Pasuk mean about the Par Asheni? Were there two animals, or is this one animal that's being referred to being called the Parasheni, Sheva Shonim? So you see that you could take an animal that's 7 years old. How could you have taken if it's 7 years old? It must be because the designation expired. Says the Gemara, you're asking questions from that episode? For Hossam, that power, Muksa b'chad hava, was the only problem with that animal that it was designated for Avodah Zarah. There were other issues with that animal as well. Neved nami hava, it was actually worshipped. So we should focus on that. So the fact that 7 years makes a difference or doesn't make a difference when we speak about Muksa certainly doesn't make a difference when we speak about Neved. And that animal was Neved. So Rashi says that the Gemara is assuming, without any question, that that animal was worshipped. Rashi says he doesn't know where in the Pasuk it says that it was actually worshipped. The Mefarshim, however, the other Rishonim say it's clear from the entire episode that we're still going to discuss now that it seemed that it was worship, that his father was Oved Avodah Zarah, and this was part of his worship. But, says the Gemara, Aravach b'yakam muksa levit v'lo yavdu. No, the only issue here was designation, not that it was actually worshipped. Rav Amar, Rav says, of course, l'olam avdu, it was actually worshipped. But Rav says more than that. This entire episode that is referred to there is a chiddush, it was an anomaly. And we can't therefore ask questions from that episode. Rav Abba Bar Kahana, as Rav Abba Bar Kahana taught us, Dvar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Shmoine Hitir Dvarim Hitir Bais Laila. In the act that Gidon was told to do that night, there were eight Atarim. And as all the Mefarshim point out, that even though a Navi is not allowed to violate any of the rules of the Torah, here so many rules, as we're about to learn, were violated. It was a Rosh Hashanah. Shmoine Dvarim Hitir Bais Laila. chutz. At that time, the bama, there was a bama firmly in place in Shiloh, and therefore during that time, they weren't allowed to bring kabanis elsewhere, but he did. He did it balayla. He brought the carbon by night, when kabanis are not supposed to be brought by night. The zaris, and as the Farshim point out, even though the halacha is that on a bama, which is where Gideon brought his carbon, a zar may do the avoida, that's only b'shas hetera bamas, when bamas are permitted. As I just said, that was a time when bamas weren't permitted, and therefore a zar may not do the avoida. Gideon was an akayin. The klisharis, they didn't use klisharis. And as the Mefarshim point out, how do we know they didn't use klisharis? Maybe Gideon designated a keli to be klisharis. So the Rishonim answer, even if he did designate a keli, since all the kelim that he had were used for hedyot, they were used for not holy purposes, you can't just turn it into a klisharis. The kli asherah, they used the kelim that were actually used for the asherah. The atzei asherah, and they built the Mizbeach with wood from an Asherah tree, Umuksa, and they used animal that was designated for Avodah Zarah v'Nevad. So that whole story is a very big anomaly from which we cannot learn. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tovi b'Masna, Amar Rav Yeshua, Menayin l'Muksa min haTorah. How do we know, and the way Rashi explains the Gemara, how do we know that we have an obligation to designate an animal for kodesh, for a carbon, before we actually use it? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Tishmeru lahakrav li b'me'adoi, kol sh'oysen lo'shimer. That in order for an animal to be used, you have to have shimer. It has to be properly designated. Maskel Abaya, ask Abaya, is that indeed the halacha? That an animal to be able to be used for a carbon, you have to make sure to designate and develop and use a good animal. Elamata, if so, ask the Gemara. Aisa imre de tsuma. The son is going to be bring a hungry, tired out animal. And you won't properly designate it and develop it. Hachanami to lechazel akrava can't be used. So the first you say, maybe taka. So the first you say, we don't find in all of the kachim masechtas that the Gemara should ever say that you could only bring an animal that was properly developed. So it's fair assumption that there is no such a requirement, and that's why the Gemara asks this question. But then the Mefarshim asks, and we've learned, that the halach is that a carbon tamid requires bikur for 4 days. It has to be separated and watched and checked for 4 days. What's the Gemara saying that you could take any animal? We know there's a halacha biker. So I saw a number of answers to that question. One answer is, some Farshim say that that's a din only by carbon tamid. And our Gemara is not speaking only by carbon tamid. Our Gemara is speaking about all kabanas. Another text that I saw, that yes, there's a requirement of biker. Yes, there's a requirement of biker, but that requirement a biker is not essential. And the halacha is, if you didn't do biker, the animal's kosher anyway. From our Gemara, it seems that it's absolutely essential. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, you misunderstood what I meant to say. Ano, tishmer lahakir li b'mayadoi, I'm using this pasuk for a different point. That the animal has to be designated to be used for holy purposes, for loylod nacher. It may not be, you may not use an animal that was designated to worship another god. Veizu acher, shemakriven loy, havoimer, zu avayz kachavim. First in debate what the Gemara means here. Does the Gemara mean that the animal itself was worshipped? Was the animal, or was an animal that was designated to be used for avayz zara? What is the Gemara mean here? So Tysus makes a very interesting observation. We learned in our previous year, the Gemara had a machlokes tanum. How do we know that you're not allowed to use an animal that's muksa, that's designated for avodah zara? So Rav Shmuel said, because we learned it, mashchasim bam mumbam, it was the end of the shiur yesterday, mashchasim means an animal for avodah zara. The Chachamim learned it from the pasuk, men habehemim, men habakar, men hatzoyim. So the question Taisus asks is that it's okay, it's typical that the Gemara will bring another opinion. And this Tana that we're learning now has a right to bring a different pasuk. But when another opinion is cited, the Gemara uses the words, V'hai Tana ma'isalam ha'cha. We learned a different source, and this Tana uses this source. They don't ignore the other Tanaim. Here, our Gemara is ignoring the other Tana. The other Tanaim. What happened to their opinion that the Gemara is just ignoring it? So the Farshim respond. The opinion of Rishmol, as I just said, was based on the pasuk Mashchasim. And we learned that Rishmol says Mashchasim means Avodah Zarah. Says the Rishonim, maybe Rishmol will say that Mashchasim only means an animal that was actually worshipped. How do we know that Mashchasim even includes an animal that was just designated? That's all we need this pasuk for. According to the Chachamim, who learned it from the pasuk so how is their opinion ignored? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that this Tana holds that opinion is only a smachta, but this has a real basis, a much stronger basis, and that's why he doesn't mention that opinion. Another pshat I saw is a very nice pshat. The pasuk says, as we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday, mina behemim, mina bokim, mina tzoyim. And the Gemara, the Chachamim went and said, you know what we learned from those min? We learn from that a muksa. So it's an obvious question. How do you take the word menatzoin and pull it out of the hat and say it means muksa? What leads you there? Says our Tana, since there's a pasuk with Tishmeru Lakar Mayadoi, that the Torah is already teaching us that you shouldn't use an animal which is designated. So you see, there's an issue with this type of animal. There's an issue with an animal that's a muksa. So now I say menatzoin can legitimately mean muksa. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ula Amar Rava Bar Avrada Amar Rav Yitzchak Ein muksa el shiavdu. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Rashi quotes two pshatim. What does the Gemara mean here? Very serious halachic ramifications. One pshat is, we're learning that an animal is a muksa. And the Gemara is saying, just because you designated an animal for avodah zara doesn't make it muksa. Something had to have been done with this animal that to show that you meant avodah zara. Just saying that you want to use it for avodah zara is not enough. That's one way Rashi explains what the Gemara is saying. Then another pshat Rashi is saying, is that you have an animal that's muksa, that was designated for avodah zara. So how long does it remain disqualified as a muksa? Says the Gemara, until the koimrim, until the priest actually go and use that animal for their own personal use, it remains a muksa. So there's a tshuvah samsoifa that takes this question that we just quoted, this machloikis rishonim, and speaks about a question that comes up. There are different ornamentations that people use for their noy sukkah, for their sukkah. There are candles that people use for Hanukkah, for other times, that were made for avodah zara. It says it on the package. So why can we use it for a dvar mitzvah? Aren't they muksa? That was a shala asked to Rechsam Seifer. So Rechsam Seifer says, if we take the approach that the Gemara here is saying that it's not just muksa because you decided that you want to use it, but it has to be have actually been somewhat used, so we have no problem. You're buying it from the store, it was never used. But if we're going to take the pshat of the Rishonim, designation is enough. And what the Gemara here is speaking is that after it was designated, how does it lose that designation? So what happens? How could you use these items for a dvar mitzvah? So Rechsam Seifer's approach is that The fact that they're being sold to anyone is the best raya that they're not, that the designation is being broken. Because if the designation was so serious, how would you go sell it to any customer? Rav Ozna and the Shas Tshuva Shevet Halevi has a different approach. He says there's no one that can say that something was manufactured in a factory and does have certain whatever labeling or packaging really means a designation. It doesn't mean a designation, it's just a marketing ploy. But I did see from the Shas Tshuva's Chalkus Yaakov that he says you certainly can't call these kind of items muksa. But still, since it has all of this designation on it, the chatchil should not be used for a dvar mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Ulama achim surug chamer avos kachavim. Again, both pshatim. Either it's only considered a muksa when you've given it to the galochim, or it's pshat that once they take it for their own personal use, it loses that designation. Beha. Beha is the name of a person. Amr b'yochanan. Until you feed it. And again, both pshatim. Amalir of Abba Lebeha, Sir Abba Satabeha, Mafakhusin Atana Ula. Ula was one of the greatest Amaroim. You're disputing his opinion? Amalay, Sabeha said Chas v'Shalom. Ula, Namiki Kamer, who the Shafle Kashinev is Kachavim. I'm just explaining what Ula meant. No machloikis intended. Comments Rab Abba. Amr Rab Abba. Yod Beha Lishnu Shmaitza. Beha was sort of challenged that how are you arguing with Ula? And he was able to defend himself. So obviously Beha is a Talmud Chacham. And he says, you know why he's such a great Talmud Chacham? V'i loy the Salk Lahosam. Because he went to learn at Yisrael. And had he not gone to learn at Yisrael, loy have a yoda. He wouldn't be able to defend himself. There's a Yisrael Garmalay. It's his being in Eretz Yisrael that taught him how to respond properly. So Mefarshim explained, either because the Schus of Eretz Yisrael helped him, or as we know the Gemara says, Avira da Ara Machdim, Eretz Yisrael makes people smarter, and that's how he got so smart. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says a different way of understanding Beha's intelligence. Beha mikan mikan hava. Beha lived originally in Bavel, and he went to Yisrael. So you know there are good things about everybody. There are good things about people from Chutz Laaretz. There are good things about people from Eretz Yisrael. Beha, because he lived both in Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael, had that perfect combination, and that's why he became such a great Talmud Chacham. The Tani Rav Chanina Tata, Kamei Rav Yochanan, Ein Osam. Again, the two pshatim. Who tanala for had the amala? He explained, my maisa, what does that mean? Until you actually do something with it, either that will make it into a muksa, or that will break it from being a muksa. So we learned in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed, as we began today's shir as well, what is a muksa, and what is a nevad. And the Mishnah said that an animal which is a muksa or a nevad may not be used for carbon, but we could eat it for our own personal use. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, how do we know so? Amra Papa, the Amra Kra, Memashki Yisrael. There's a very important pasuk. The pasuk that when it discusses the characteristics of what can be put on the Mizbeach says it has to be Memashki Yisrael, something that we could all eat. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. Only something that we may eat can be put on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say a siri lahedyet, that such an animal is osur, for that we may not eat from an animal, which is muksa or nevad, v'sakadatach a siri lahedyet, that we may not eat a muksa or a nevad animal, lomali kro lemetuna migavaya, why do we need a pasuk? The way Rashi explains, if we can't eat it, it's obvious that they can't eat it. So why would we need a pasuk to say that it's usur, or the pasukim that we've learned? It must be that it's mutter for us, and it's usur for them. Taisus has a different way of explaining the Gemara. He says, Taisa says, if we're going to learn that it's also lahajit, then why do we need a pasuk to teach us that it's also lagvaya? It must be that it's mutta lahajit. Mefarshim ask, this pasuk of Mimashki Yisrael is a pasuk in Navi, in Yecheskel, as I said. And we can't learn halachas from a pasuk in Navi. So how does the Gemara assume that because there's such a pasuk, that that's the halacha? So some Mefarshim explain that the pasuk in Navi is just really recording something that they knew halacha l'mosh m'sinai previously. But it wasn't that the Navi was making up this rule. Another pshat is there's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Aman tia Torah Hashem b'ficha." And actually, that's the pasuk that's used to teach us that tefillin, sefer Torah, mezuzos, may only be made on parchment, on leather, from animals that are kosher. So what Yecheskel is doing, say the Mefarshim, is he's not making up a new din. He's just telling us that when the Torah says, L'mantia Torah Hashem v'ficha, menamuk v'ficha, means Mamashki Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The kalhecha de siru lahedjet, that if something may not be eaten by a hedjet, it's automatically osif and mizbeach, and therefore lo bayu kraw, and a pasuk isn't needed to teach us that halacha. For treifa, we certainly aren't allowed to eat a treifa animal, that's siru lahedjet, umiata kraw megavaya. Yet there's a pasuk that teaches us that an animal which is treifa cannot be used as a carbon. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, the pasuk says the word menaboker, she'ain't time loimer, lohoitzias a treifa. But if we're saying this rule, ask the Gemara, of Mamashki Yisrael, that an animal that we can't eat automatically is possible for the Mizbeach, why do we need a pasuk for treifa? And again, here to the point I made, there's a pasuk, and the Rambam quotes this pasuk very often. He says that you can't use for a carbon anything which is hakrivei, the pasuk he says, hakrivei nola fechasecha. Would you bring it to avodah zarah? So the question again is, why does the Gemara have to have a separate pasuk to tell us a treif is also, a treif certainly is a poor quality animal. So answer the mefarshim what I just said. Because the pasuk of hakrivei nola fechasecha is only the rabbanim. It's a pasuk of Navi. This price is showing us that it's a din doraisa. But again, the question is, why do I need a pasuk to tell us that a treif is also for a carbon? We should learn it from the dinner of Mashki Yisrael. It's true. Answer them, we still need a pasuk. Because if we only had the treifa, the pasuk, if we only had the Mashki Yisrael, we would think, hanimili the nitrifa of akach niskacha. That if you have an animal that's treif, and then you want to be makadish such an animal as a carbon, can't do that. Avol niskacha, if you were makadish the animal when it was still healthy, v'akach nitrifa, and then it only became treifa, elamod a tishri l'gavoya, that's why we need a separate pasuk, that even such a treifa is asur. Ask the Gemara, but there's still a third pasuk. V'chama hachanavka, is this the source that teaches us that a treifa may not be used as a carbon? Doesn't the Torah say, kol ha-shiyavetach l'shevet? It's a pasuk by the Meis Behema, the Prat l'treifa, Shein Averis, to teach us that an animal that can't walk can't be used. And as the Rishonim explained, when we learned in Masechta Kedushin, in Masechta Chulin, when we discussed treifas, so one of the type of treifas that we learned was an animal, Nifska Ragla Merkuva Lamala, that higher up in the leg was cut off, it's a treifa. And such an animal is considered an animal that's treifa, because it can't walk. So from there we see that treifa is disqualified. So why do we need these psukim? So the obvious question, when we learned Masechta Chulin, is the Gemara says there are yudches treifas. There are 18 types of treifas. So yes, one of them is nifsukam and akuva lamala, that it's cut at that point. But there's other treifas that don't prevent the animal from walking. So one teretz that Rishonim suggests is that we're learning this halacha from the other halachas. That this animal is a treifa because it can't walk, and that serves as a source to teach us that all treifa animals may not be used. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that Rishonim suggests is that all animals that are treifa, even if it's not on their legs, but are obviously weak and are unable to walk, and therefore that should be, that's the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of treifa. Answers the Gemara. There's a need for a third pasuk. The null the treif meima. Only an animal which was born treif. If the animal was fine and then only the yotzus la'avi olam v'achach nitzufa, it only got treif afterwards later in life. So just to summarize, we have three psukim about a treifa, could teach us three halachas. One is to teach us that an animal that was born treif can't be used. The second pasuk is here to teach us that if it was treif before you were makadosh it, it's disqualified as a carbon. And the third pasuk is teaching us that even when you were makadosh it, it wasn't treif, but it became treif before you were makriv it, it's also possible. So as we mentioned, and we're going to begin now for learning the sugya of Esnan and Mechir Kalev. The Torah says that Esnan may not be used for a carbon. Ezo Esnan, what exactly is an Esnan? Says the Mishnah, Haim lezoyna, halach tleizeh b'scharcha, this should be your wage. The halach is that it's an Esnan. Afilahin kuf, even if you give her 100 animals, kulan asurim, they all are asur. And the Gemara is going to ask, of course, why not? So the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. They say that in all likelihood, if someone made up to give a zayna, what the definition of a zayna is we're going to speak about soon, a certain wage, and then he didn't give it, she probably cannot extract it in court. Number one, it's very likely that he did a vera that he's chayiv miso, chayiv malchus, and we have kamalei b'derabim b'nei. That's number one. And number two, it's hard to believe that a Bezdin would extract from an individual the payment of a Zayna, that's what Bezdin would get involved with. So, say to Rishonim, that has nothing to do with what we're learning. It could be that she can't extract it in the Din Torah, but the fact that she can't extract it in the Din Torah doesn't mean that if it's given to her, it doesn't become an Esnan. Continues the Mishnah. If somebody said, he says to one person, says to another person, take this animal and my slave and your maid should have relations. Rabbi said that would not be a situation. We'll explain tomorrow why. So the Gemara began, that even if 100 animals were given as this wage, they all fall into the category of an Esnan. Ask the Gemara, Kulan Asur. Ask the Mahechidami. Exactly what is the case that the Mishnah refers to? Elam the Shokla Agramei Behemoth, that her wage was 100 animals. So Pshita, the Kulan Asur. So it's obvious that they're all an Esnan. Mali Chad, Mali Mei. Why should it make a difference if it's one animal or 100 animals? So what's the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Letzrich the Shokla Agra Chada. They made up originally that she's getting one animal as a wage. But then he actually gave her 100 animals. They're all considered Esnan. However, say the Mefarshim, that the Gemara is teaching us a very bechidish, that we don't view the 99 additional animals as a matana, they're viewed as an Esnan. But when is that? If they were all given together, but let's say he were to give her the first animal as his Esnan payment. And then afterwards he decides to give her another 99 animals, or whatever number of animals he chooses to give. Since they weren't all given together, they wouldn't be an Esnan. Continues Gemara. Says the Braisa, Tana Bana Nosan La V'Loi Bola. He gave, but he didn't have relations. O Bola V'Loi Nosan La, Esnan Amutin. Says the Gemara, if Nosan La, if he gives her something, and they never have relations, Asnana, why would it be called an Asnan? They didn't do anything. Furthermore, Bola v'lei nasin lo man yovle. There's nothing to be an estan. Says the Marhok Ketani. This is the way to understand the brisa. Nasin lo v'achka bola. He gave her whatever, and then they had relations. Or bola, or he had relations. Achka nasin lo. So he didn't give what he's giving at the time of the bia. That's not a matar. That's matar. But ask the Gemara, why in the first case, where he gave it to her, and afterwards they had relations, shouldn't it become an esnan l'mafreya? Retroactively, it should become apparent that this was meant to be an esnan. V'lechola esnan l'mafreya. Shouldn't be obvious that it's an esnan retroactively, answers the Gemara. Amar Belaza, shekagma v'krivasa. You're right, the Gemara suggests. If the animal was still there before, by the time they had relations, then retroactively it would become an esnan. Here, the Gemara is speaking about a case that she was makrivit as a carbon before they had the relations. Says the Gemara. So all the Rishonim ask, so what's the discussion? There's nothing to talk about. The animal isn't here anymore. Why are we having this discussion? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, if it retroactively becomes an esnan, so she hasn't properly fulfilled her chiv to bring a carbon, so she would have to bring another carbon. If it's not an esnan, she fulfilled her obligation. Or another pshat that I saw. We know, and we've discussed this many times, that when we speak about kabanis, the most crucial avoid of the carbon is the zrikas adam. So while we're a halacha, if the animal was slaughtered, they did the avoidah, but they didn't do zrikas adam, then he does the biya. If it becomes an esnan l'mafreya, you wouldn't be allowed to do the Zrikas Adam, because now it's an Esnan. If it doesn't become, so you could complete it, the Zrikas Adam. So, drills down the Gemara. Hey, Chidam, exactly what are we speaking about? It named an Akne Lel Alter, that he gives her the animal, and right away says to her that it should be yours. She did the mutter, that this animal is not a mutter. That can lebala. There's been no beer. Why would we call this an Esnan? Ve'ela the Amala. Rather, it's referring to a situation where he said to her, even though I'm presenting you the animal now, it shouldn't actually become yours until we have relations. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, then it isn't hers yet. Because he said it shouldn't be yours until we actually have that relation. So that means matzah makavla? Can she now, and the Gemara is suggesting, and before they have the relations, she wants to go and use it as a carbon? Ask the Gemara, could that happen? That she could use that animal, which really isn't hers yet, as a carbon? We know the Torah says, Ish kiyagdis espesoi kodesh l'shem ha-rachmana. Says the Gemara, what do we learn from that pasuk? Ma beisa b'rishusoi. You only have a right to be magdish. You only have a right to be makr of something that you own. Af kol b'rishusoi. But if it's not hers yet, because even though he presented to her, he said it shouldn't be yours until we actually have bia, so how could she be used for a carbon? Answers the Gemara, Le'tzricha, the Amalah, he said to her, Le'niklach atshas bia. Really, I don't want it to be yours until the actual bia is done. However, he does say to her, V'matzrichlach, if you're going to have some need to use it, Niklach ma'achshav, then you can have it from now. And that's the discussion, is it or isn't it considered hers, that she could, that if it was used for a carbon, is it fine? And the halacha is that it is. So the question is, why? Machlekes Rishonim. Some Rishonim learn, because an esnan, I think what way I would say Rashi learns, an esnan is only an esnan when it's given b'shas bia. Here, since it wasn't really done that way, it falls into the category of a matana, not into the category of esnan. Taisus seems to learn an easier pshat. Taisus says, it isn't here b'shas bia. And if it isn't here b'shas bia, you can't call it esnan. And therefore, along those lines, we can understand the next question of the Gemara. By Rav Ashi asks, it's clear in this case that he gave it to her before they did the bia. And he said, I don't really want you to take ownership until the bia takes place, but if you need to, you may. So the Gemara paskin, the Braisa paskin, if she used it for carbon, it's fine. What happened if she didn't actually use it? She would just magdish it. What would be the halacha? And here, I saw the Mefarshim say, the machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos comes into play. Because the Gemara speaks specifically about a case of Ravigdisha. The Gemara doesn't say, what about if she sold it? Why doesn't the Gemara speak about a case that she sold it? So it could be, according to Rashi, when she sold it, it's not considered that it's out of her rishus. When she sold it, on the contrary, it's certainly out of her rishus, and it's certainly not a nesnan. Tosfos, who says that the reality makes a difference, is it here or isn't here? So Hegdish maybe makes it like it's not here. V'chir, it's still here. Says the Gemara, Tiv Shlomo D'Rebbe Elazar. Let's use Rebbe Elazar's halacha as an answer. Da Rebbe Elazar, kadna v'grivasa, hikrivasa. So isn't Rebbe Elazar's wording? Dafka, because she was makrivit. Krivasa, the leisa b'shaspia, because it's already used up. It was brought as a carbon before the bayit took place. Avol, hikdishasa. If she was only magdishit, it seems Rebbe Elazar says that it would be also, it would be an esnan. Says Mar, it's not a compelling proof. He gufa kamebayle. That exactly what the Gemara meant to ask. He krivasa. If she was makrivit, v'aleisa b'shas bia, so therefore it no longer exists in the world b'shas bia. That's why it's mutter. Aval higdishasa b'shas bia. All she did was she just magdishit, but she was a makrivit. It'll be aser. Oidilma. Not a Gemara teaches us. We know it is a very famous rule. Kivin the Tanah, we've learned many times. Amirosel gvoik misirosel hegdish. So we see that when you give something to Hegdish, you don't even need a kinyan. Just saying it is enough. Hegdishasay mutter, just being magdishit, is ready enough to take it out of harishos. And certainly, because she came, hekrivosay, it's not hers. It's certainly not an esnan. And the Gemara remains with a teiko. So the Meiri explains. Why is there halacha amir l'gvayk m'sir l'hegit? Throughout Shas, I shouldn't say the words, I shouldn't say throughout Shas, I should say our Gemara. We're going to learn in a few moments. We know that one of the most fundamental rules is that for a transaction to be valid, you need a kinyan. Why here is a kinyan not required? So Miri says a very beautiful word. So the pasuk says, L'Hashem ha'aretz u'malayei. The whole world belongs to God. So what is the definition of a kinyan? The definition of a kinyan is that it starts, I'm the seller, you're the buyer. It starts by me and it goes to you. So my rishus is my rishus, and your rishus is your rishus. We're two separate entities. We're very much two separate entities. By Hashem, there's no two separate entities because everything is Hashem's. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Dubna Magid. He says, why indeed is the halacha mirer l'gvayk m'siras l'hegit? And we said the halach is, therefore, if you make a pledge for tzedakah, you have to honor it, even if there was no kinyan, based on this halacha. He says a very interesting mashal, as he usually does. He says, somebody asked me to watch an item that belongs to him. Fine. I went, I took the item, and I gave it as a gift to the local judge, king, whatever. Now, the original person who gave it to me to watch comes back. He says, give me back my thing. So I said, oh, you know what? I gave it away as a gift. So we have to go to the judge. But the judge is the one that got it as a gift. So he has a vested interest that this situation should work out because he received it. When we give tzedakah to Hashem, Hashem does what we need. Tzedakah ta'atzmim avos. Tzedakah is extremely powerful. So Hashem has a vested interest, kaviyachol, that our tzedakah pledges should be true, so that whatever we're trying to accomplish with the tzedakah should truly be accomplished. The Chassidus Sfarim say, amir l'gvayk m'sir l'hegit, is you know how your relationship is supposed to be l'gvoya, what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, k'mesira. A real relationship is based on mesiras nefesh. A Jew is supposed to be ready to be mesiras nefesh for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Brisa at the bottom of Amud Aleph, Ba'olah, that they have relations. Va'kach nosim la, the halach is esna mutar. Ask the Gemara, but Tanya, but there's another Brisa that says, Ba'olah, v'nosim la, v'afilach neim asa chaydish, esna no osir, even if it's 10 months later. Answers the Gemara, Amran, v'chanabar, v'chizda loikasha. Hodam loy v'ili b'tleza, if they designated the animal, then it's an esnan. Then it's not an esnan. Ask the Gemara, even if they designated a tleh from a chus mashicha, as I just said a moment ago, it doesn't become yours by me just saying it. You have to have a kinyan. And there's a halach lemaisa. The halach lemaisa, the poskim say, it's in Shulchan Aruch Chayesh Mishpat. That let's say I tell a worker that I'm going to pay him not, with a certain item. There's a worker that wants an item of mine, and I tell him, okay, you do the job, I'll pay you this item. If there was no kinyan, I don't have to pay him with, I have to pay him, but I don't have to give him that item. So here, just because he said it, doesn't make a difference. Answers the Gemara, we know throughout Shas, there's Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, if Kesef is Kaina, or Mashiach is Kaina. By Yisraelim, you need Mashiach. According to Rish Lakish Midaraisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan Midarabonim. But the Rabbanan is as strong as a Deraisa. By an Akum, you don't have to have a Mashiach. And that's, we're talking about a Zayin HaVaydazar, Oivis Kacham, the Loikanyu Mashiach. The Baisayma, I feel Bezayin Yisraelis. There is a way of defining good a Bezayin Yisraelis. Kigoyin the Ka, Bechatzeira. It's in her property. And therefore, there's a Kinyan Chatzar. But ask the Gemara, there's another problem. If it's referring to a situation where he put her, this Esnan, this animal, into her property before they had the Bia, and that's why it became hers, haven't we just finished learning that if you give it to her before the Bia, it's not an Esnan? However, was Mikara. So, then it's not an Esnan. Answers the Gemara, the Shavila Paitiki. Even though he put it into her property, he hasn't made it hers. What he said to her was as follows. Im adjoin plani yahavna lach suzi, if I give you cash up to that time, mutav, great. Vimlaf, tlelebes nanach, then the animal should become yours, so it doesn't become hers until they actually did the aveira. Om Rabbi Rav, esnan zachar, if there's an esnan that somebody gives to the male, for a homosexual relationship, or ech esna kolarayis, or any esnan that involved an erva relationship, is osur. Chutz me'esn ishtei nida. If somebody has relations with his wife when she's a nida and he gives her payment for it, that it wouldn't be called an esnan. Why? My time is zoinik siv, vavlo of zoinahi. So mefarshin debate, why is ishtei nida excluded? Some say an ishtanid is excluded because she's not a zayna, she's a wife. It may be also chiv karis, but she's his wife. Others say, because unlike other arayas, the anida is a temporary. She's only also while she's anida. What would be the nafkamina between these two pshatim? What would be if somebody had relations with a pnuya who's anida? She's an unmarried woman who's anida. If we say that the vart is that she's excluded because she's his wife, this woman isn't his wife. If we say that the vart is because it's only a temporary psul, so pnuya nida is the same thing. V'leiv amar, Levi says a fil ishta nida. If somebody pays his wife while she's a nida to have relations, it would be an esnan. My tama, toeviksiv. The Torah says toeva regarding erva, and having relations even with a wife when she's a nida, v'tevihi. Ask the Gemara, V'levi nami haksiv zayna. Doesn't the Torah say the word zayna? Which is an indication that only if it's not a wife. Answers the Gemara, Hahi zayna v'loi zayna. Here the Torah is teaching us a different word. The Torah is teaching us that it's only with a woman there's a problem with esnan, not with a man. Because the pronunciation of a zachar and a keva is very different. V'rebi, Hahi zayna v'loi zayna minala. How do we know that there's a difference between a man and a woman? Says the Gemara, Nafkalim the Rebbe. He learns it from what Rebbe taught us. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Ein Esn Aser El Kol Esn Abas LaBaveira. There has to be an Aveira involved. Ever Eshtoy Nida, or V'Shenosn LaSchar Lafgasa, or he gave her money to V'Shenosn LaBasnona, or she, if a woman gave a man, Matarim. Api She'ein Raila Dover, and even though their schaf gosa means schaf taylor, that he didn't pay her for the act. He paid her just that she couldn't go to work while they were doing it. That's not esnan. That's not called an esnan. And api she'en ra'il dover, that this is not an esnan, tzeich ledover. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel, v'sitcha esnan v'esnan lo'tach v'tehi la'apam. That, the female giving the male is not the normal way, and that's why it's not an esnan. Asked the Gemara of Rebbe, "Hai ta'eva my avodlay?" Rebbe, who doesn't agree, and he holds that ishta nida, there is no isr esnan. What is he going to do with the word ta'eva? Rebbe, "Hai ta'eva my avodlay?" Answers the Gemara, "Mebarlek Rabbaya." He needs it for what Rabbaya said. Dama Rabbaya, zoyna v'etz kachavim, esnana asna. Even if she's non-Jewish, my tama ksiv hocha ta'eva. The ksiv, chosam, the pasuk says, ki kola asa, shim kol tevis eila, mala rayas, shay kedushin tovsim ba, hachanami, a non-Jewish woman, and kedushin tovsim ba. Furthermore, the kohen shabala, we know that a kohen may not have relations with a zoyna, says the Gemara, a kohen that has relations with a non-Jewish zoyna, ain't a like a lemishum zoyna. My tama, damakor lo yichal zaroi, only if there were a child born from that union, would that child be Jewish? Zayin Yisraelis, says the Gemara, Esnan Amotah. My Tamuk, the Gemara is saying that the only time it's considered an Esnan is the Kedushin is not Typhus. By Jew, Kedushin Typhus Ba, V'Kan Shabala, Loika. My Tamuk, the Hadzar Miyuchas Achrof. Rav Amma, Rav on the other hand holds, Echad Zeh, whether Kedushin is Typhus or Kedushin is not Typhus, it's considered an Esnan, the Kol Aleh, the Kohen HaBa Aleh, and the same thing, the Isra of a Kohen having relations with a Zoyna, applies in both cases. Ma, my Tama, Yalf Ma'adadi. Ma, Zoyna Yisraelis, there's an Isra Lav, Av Zoyna Avarish Kachavim, Belav. Or Ma Esnan, just like by Esnan, there's no difference. Zoyna Avez Kechavim, Av Esnan Zoyna Yisraelis is also awesome.